Well, welcome everybody to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. Thank you all for joining us. I have Ann sitting next to me here in South Carolina. Welcome, Ann.
Hello, everyone.
And we have Megan and Karen up there in, I don't know what the climate is in Vermont today, but welcome, Megan and Karen.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
And we've had a rainy day here, but it's been a nice time here, so.
It's actually improving here.
Good.
Finally.
Yep. We're able to be out in t-shirts with a sweater.
It's been a little bit breezy, but other than that, fine.
Good. We're going to do Colossians for the next few weeks, so we'll start with chapter 1, verse 1. And Karen, would you start and read verse 1 for us, please?
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother.
You can go ahead and read too.
To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
So here we have Paul, and he gives his, basically states who he is. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ, and that apostleship is by the will of God, not by the will of man, not anything to do with man, but is by the will of God, even as in his time, the apostles who originally walked with Jesus when he walked on this earth. And in like manner, God called Paul. And it says there, and Timotheus, our brother. And when he's referring to Timotheus as our brother, he's referring to Timotheus. And our is referring to the apostles of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Timothy being one of them. Not a five-star apostle at this moment, but an apostle nonetheless. And this is kind of like an apostolic greeting to the church at Colossae. And it's being written to the saints, and saints are those who believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what makes you a saint, not the designation of sainthood by any church or anything, but it's solely based on faith in the sufficiency of the gospel to have reconciled you to God, and faithful brethren in Christ. And that's kind of a step up, where a faithful brethren is one who stands and walks true to the word of God.
Amen.
Which are at Colossae. So this is a particular epistle to the saints and faithful brethren in Colossae. And here, from the position of that he has and the authority he has as an apostle, he extends grace unto them, that grace which is necessary with the gospel, because it makes up that difference that, because we're sinners and we fall short, and we're saved by the blood, not by our works, and the grace makes up that difference. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is that peace treaty that those who believe have accepted. God gave us a peace treaty through the cross of Christ, and those who take that treaty now are no longer at war with God. And this is his greeting. So he's extending that grace and that peace to these people who believe God and the testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Megan or Karen?
Nothing to add yet.
Nothing here.
So, Megan, would you pick up on verse 3 there?
We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Stop.
Okay, I guess you can stop there. I was kind of caught on the fact that all these verses have commas or colons. Uh-huh. So here, you know, Paul and Timotheus give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Why? Because they have heard, since the day they heard, or the moment they heard, of these people's faith in Christ, and the love, you see, which is the evidence of that faith that these people in Colossae had to all the saints. So you see there a lack of respecter of persons. They have a love for the body of Christ. And when Paul and Timotheus heard it, these people now became those to whom they lifted up. They lifted them up before the Lord. You know, that was their job. This is, if you stop and think about it, and Paul's such a distinct picture of it, Paul's life was Jesus Christ. His desire was that all men come to know Jesus Christ. So when he hears, and we're going to see that it's through the testimony of Epaphras, if I said that right, that there is that these people accepted that the gospel, he now is joining himself and lifting them up, and is now going to also minister that which God has given to him for their sakes. This is what Paul's about, and you see the expression of it here in verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. They thank God for the fact that these people have heard and received. Mm-hmm. Anne?
I don't have anything to add to that.
So since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all saints, and remember that love really is the evidence of that they received the gospel.
Amen.
So if you'd pick up on 5 there, Karen?
Robin?
Yes, ma'am.
One of the reasons that maybe also that they're praying always for them is they're like the Sea of Galilee. Yeah. So right. their faith is in Jesus, and the love that they have is given out to others. It isn't something that, you know, they sit and get fat on, if you will.
Thank you for the analogy.
In a spiritual sense, you know, you get kind of complacent and all. They're actively sharing the love of Jesus Christ.
You know, when you say that, Megan, and that is, I agree with you, but it shows also the need that we all have to pray one for another, to heed the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Lord has given that apostleship to minister unto us. And, you know, you stop and think, you pray one for another. We all need that. Because there's a vulnerability to us here on this earth, and one that the body, we can shore each other up in the faith and strengthen one another and recognize the need to lift each other up in prayer. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
But that's a good point. But I do know that you really see a picture of a true minister of God. David is a great example of that too, because you see how David was always about ministering to the people of Israel. He was their king. He could have been all about them, you know,
serving him.
Yeah, instead he was their servant.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is with the men and women of God. Their servants, that which the Lord has given them, they used to the benefit of others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's actually times when, say you're going through a struggle, a temptation, or something that's hard to deal with, you can actually feel the prayers from your brothers and sisters.
And knowing they pray helps.
And knowing that they're standing with you, even though they might not be physically present with you, they are with you in the spirit, helps you a lot of times overcome that temptation. stand firm in the trial that's coming, or actually even know what you're supposed to do, because the Lord will answer those prayers.
Yeah, get you a hope that yes. you may have been waning in on your own. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Which kind of leads into verse 5.
Okay.
Karen.
For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth.
Okay. So, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, since we heard, you know, of their faith, for the hope. Now, you see here is they're thankful to God for the hope that these people now share in and have in heaven. And what is, how did that hope come to them was because they heard the gospel. Whereof he heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So these are hearers of the word. And you can see that there has been a digestion of that word mm-hmm. because of the love that they have one for another. And we'll see a further testimony of that as you go down. And then, you know, Paul makes an interesting statement in verse 6. Because he says that it's come into all the world, the gospel, and it's borne fruit in all the world, the gospel, and it's borne fruit in you. Distinctly, here's a group of people in whom this gospel has borne a fruit, even as it has elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it did come into all the world. You guys want to add to that? It's a rousing chorus.
Yeah. I think you covered it pretty well, Robin.
Megan, you're on verse... Seven. Oh, Karen's on verse 7, I think.
Yeah, she just read.
Or whoever is supposed to read.
Just someone read 7, please. It's Megan.
As he learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit.
Okay, so here it was Epaphras, who's a dear fellow servant to Paul and to Matthias, who to the people at Colossae was a faithful minister of Christ. So he brought the word rightly divided in truth. And they are a fruit of it, and Paul's giving testimony of this. And it comes, because Paul hasn't met these people, but it was Epaphras who declared unto Paul and Timothy their love in the Spirit. And that's that capital S in the Holy Spirit, because love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not something in our natural man, in our flesh.
That's right.
So Paul's, identifying and making note of not only the faithfulness of Epaphras to these people in that which he brought to them, but also then, of course, their response of receiving it and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back in verse 6, it says, you know, the hope is coming to all the world. And it bringeth forth fruit. It does. But the difference between most people and these people is the day they heard it, they believed it and they knew that it was true. And so just that the gospel does bring fruit, but it doesn't benefit anyone unless they believe the Lord.
Right. You know, and Megan, I'm glad you went back there because, and knew the grace of God in truth, because that's the only way we stand in that peace that he has given us is through the knowledge of that grace.
Yeah.
And these people obviously understood that. It wasn't all about them being perfect or anything like that. They became servants of God because of that provision at the cross and the grace that by which they stood.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it, you know, since the day ye heard of it. And it's important to realize that we can quote scripture doesn't mean we've heard what it has to say. We can listen to the scripture expounded doesn't mean we hear what is being said. If we don't, there's no fruit. If we do, it becomes evident that we have heard. And there's an evidence
indeed
here been testified of these people having heard and knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
So I think it is Karen this time.
Yes.
On verse 9.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
You can go down.
That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness.
I guess you can stop it. These are these long sentences. So for this cause, because of where these people are at, Paul now, or Paul and Timotheus, give testimony that they don't cease to pray for them. And what are they praying? That they might be filled with the knowledge of his will, Jesus' will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And, you know, that's kind of interesting because people can be filled with knowledge and lack wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Yes.
He wants them to have the knowledge, but to have it with wisdom and understanding, discernment. And this is something that is in the spirit. It is not something in the flesh.
That's right.
This is where this takes place, but you have to be in the body and dwell there and not in your flesh for this prayer to occur in you, you know, for this to happen.
And we've over the years talked to many people that can quote scripture, and they have no idea what they're quoting. They don't have an understanding of it at all. They don't have the wisdom on how it applies, but they think they're brilliant Christians, and it's sad.
It really, you know, that idea of sanctification, which is a process of time that happens where we gain understanding, gain knowledge. We don't get everything right from the get-go necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
There are those who have, so to speak. I mean, Luke said, I think in, let me go back and look in the Gospel of Luke, the way he starts it is, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning, verse 3, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. Now, that is not my testimony, I'll just admit.
It's not mine either, unfortunately.
But that doesn't mean I am not gaining that perfect understanding. And in a sense, that's what Paul's prayer is for him here. And he had this knowledge.
Yes.
And he had it so he could impart it to others.
He was given it directly from God.
Mm-hmm.
I was, while we were talking about this, I was remembering a man that came out and stayed at the ranch for a while, a number of years ago now. He was working on his third theological doctorate. Just really highly educated. He was reading Greek and Hebrew. But he had no knowledge of what the word really said. And when you talk to him, his answer was always, my professor said. He did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ where he had the knowledge and the wisdom. He based his whole walk on what his professor said and on his great education.
Interesting when you say that, because when you look at the distinction between the Pharisees and Jesus, the The thing was, Jesus spoke with authority. He knew. Mm-hmm. The Pharisees spoke as that man did, just what they'd heard. They had no practical experience in the will of God and in God's ways. They knew all sorts of scripture and they knew all sorts of thought, but they didn't know him.
That's right.
And so he prays that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is the purpose, so that they might walk worthy of the Lord. And that is, you know, to where that which we do and say glorifies God.
Amen.
Not so it glorifies us.
Yeah.
There's really nothing to glorify about us, so.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And that's the only way to increase in the knowledge of God. Study is good and appropriate, needful, but unless you're walking it out, and that walk is under obedience to those who the Lord has over us, you aren't going to increase in the knowledge of God. You might increase in being able to spew, but not in the knowledge of God. And he continues his prayer, Megan, in verse 11.
Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Okay. Giving thanks. Okay,
go ahead and read that one. I apologize.
Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Okay. Being strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. And it is that power that raised Jesus from hell. Not only from the dead, but from hell itself.
That's right.
It's that very same power that he is praying here, that these people and all who will hear will be strengthened with. We have no concept, really, of the extent of that power, that it exceeds our ability to conceive. But strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and unto what? All patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You know, when I read this earlier, the one thing I want to say is it's not a spirit of martyrdom. Oh, I have to patiently endure. Oh, I have to suffer this person or that person or my circumstances. This is a joy because you're ministering Christ, and the ministry of Christ is one that takes time, takes patience, with ourselves and with others. So there's an element of suffering through that, because it can take a long time for a person to come to a place where they receive that which they need. And, you know, I mean, but it's a joy because the end is worth it.
Amen.
It's not a pain in the butt.
In those two words, long-suffering with joyfulness, don't seem like they go together, do they? But patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, that's really different than what you would think of how you would feel when you're long-suffering someone. But that is the attitude that is had when you're doing something for the Lord, long-suffering with joyfulness.
The other person matters. And the end of that conversation is, you know, that what is love in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians? It endures all things. It hopes all things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it believes all things. And so in that, you continue in the hope of that end. And I will say, on the other side of it, when you come to realize something or come to the knowledge of something or found that hope in Christ, that somebody has, through patience and long-suffering, continued to minister to you, now it really gets into perspective, because now you're thankful for that for you, but you're also in a position to see it's the way of Christ for others.
And you can see the end for that other person better when you know that it, you've seen how it's worked for others long-suffering you.
Yeah. Yeah. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, it's God who has made us acceptable in Him, not us. It's God that put on that cloak of righteousness on us, not us. And in being clothed in His righteousness, we are now able to enter in and partake. And with, what does it say here? In that inheritance of the saints, believers, in light. Jesus is light.
Amen.
This is not in our flesh, it is our in our mind that we partake of it, being in His body. He being light, that's where it is. And this is a work of God that He has wrought, that we can partake of Him. It's all on Him, and He did that which was necessary to accomplish it. So Karen,
verse 13.
Yeah. You might be on mute.
Are you there, Karen?
Okay, are we on verse 13?
Yes.
Okay. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Okay. So it is the Father who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And that's that power that rules this world. Satan, he's the ruler of this world. And through the blood of the Lamb and our faith in that, we are delivered. He hath delivered us from the power. It has no more power over us. And have translated us. Now we dwell in His body by faith. And that looks to that which happens at water baptism, when we die to ourselves and this world. Mm-hmm. And now we live unto Him. He then takes our soul and spirit, and we dwell in His body now in light. And the power of darkness has no more rule or say over us, except for that which we would give it through unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, when something's redeemed, it's like something has been put in a pawn shop and you go back and buy it back. His blood bought back the children, you know, us, believers, those who accept that. And it's even the forgiveness of sins. He forgives us. We're all sinners. We had no other way to be reconciled to God. And He took our sin to the cross, Jesus did, as a man took our place. And through that we are bought back by faith. Megan.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all... You want me to stop?
Yeah, just for a quick second, I'll let you pick up. But Jesus is the image of the invisible God. We know that when He walked on this earth, He actually was a perfect representation of God Himself in every way.
Yes.
And the firstborn of every creature... You know, His resurrection, well, His death first and then His resurrection was what allowed then all the way back to Abel to enter in.
Mm-hmm.
Abel was not resurrected and could not enter into heaven until Jesus died for him.
That's right.
And that's why you see the reference to Abraham's bosom. So those who believed God for that sacrifice or believed God from our vantage point, because of that sacrifice, we don't have to go to Abraham's bosom. But Jesus had to die and be resurrected. He is the firstborn of every creature.
I always thought it was fascinating. I'm looking for a scripture, I believe it's in Matthew, where after Jesus was resurrected, he went to Abraham's bosom, he preached to the ones there, and they accepted because they were hoping.
He preached the gospel.
He preached the gospel,
yeah.
And they had been hoping from that since the very from the very beginning. But then it says that they walked on the earth. Can you imagine walking down the road and here's Abel, and here's David, or someone else who had been resurrected with Jesus?
Yeah.
I hope that would have been awesome.
Astonishing,
astonishing.
Right? There was a mighty testimony at that time that was there to see. That is for certain. It's hard to imagine. I guess I can't imagine it. So, Megan, you can go ahead with 16 there.
For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Go ahead and finish with the next verse.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Okay. So we know that all things were created by Jesus, by the Word. Jesus is the Word. But when it goes down here and it says that are in heaven and in earth, all things, it encompasses all things. But when it goes down here and talks about thrones and dominions, principalities and powers, these are those in his kingdom. He didn't create the United States of America and the presidents and Persia or Russia or, you know, these kind of earthly dominions. He's talking spiritual dominions here. And it shines a light, if you'll see it, on coming under obedience to that kingdom. And in any kingdom, you see the line of authority and the delegation of duties, and so it is in Christ's kingdom. And it's for us to come under obedience to that. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And I know on this point, something Steve has said in the past, which is interesting, is that with that the atom at its core, in the natural sense, there is no way that it doesn't explode. It's because it is Jesus by which the atom consists, maintains that stability. But in the day he takes his hand off, so to speak, the whole, everything will go up in fire. It'll be the biggest bomb that ever went off, because he's the one by whom everything is kept. And then it goes on very clearly to those who would think that the church is the bride of Christ, that Jesus, he is the head of the body, the church. The church is the body, Jesus is the head, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And that, you know, I was thinking about this today because we know people have been raised from the dead in the Old Testament, and even Jesus raised people from the dead, but they hadn't been dead in the sense of dead and then the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
See, Jesus passed through that.
Yeah.
He paid the price, but he was able to be resurrected because he was guilty of absolutely nothing but perfect obedience to God. That he might have the preeminence. He is the preeminent one, period. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. You want fullness? You want to partake of that? You partake of it in the body, and you partake of it by being part of a healthy body. And a healthy body, that which the head speaks, flows through without any kind of disruption. And it only does because the rest of the body is obedient to it. Karen, verse 20.
And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
So, you know, when the Lord said, let there be light, and let the earth appear, and all that back in Genesis chapter 1, everything was actually, you know, I mean, he created a perfect earth. And in that which he did, he actually brought it all back. Now, the thing that happens is the earth, the only way to enter in and partake of that is through that cross, that blood of the Lamb. It's the only way to enter in back in that place where sin no longer has dominion over us.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it all. He made that reconciliation for us through that blood of the cross. And then, I don't know, you didn't read 21, did you? Whose turn is it to read?
No, I read 20, and I stopped there.
I'm going to interject something real quick. When I made reference to the dead being raised and walking, that was in Matthew 27, 52 and 53, if anybody wants to look it up.
Do you want to read it?
Sure. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many.
Amen. And those saints, once again, is simply they believed God.
They believed in the coming Messiah.
Yeah. Understanding the need for that sacrifice.
They look forward to the cross. We look back to the cross.
Yeah. Well, you figure the sacrifice which was given to Adam, who gave it to Abel, who passed it on down, was that type and shadow of that which was needful to come.
Yes.
It wasn't the sacrifice, but it was the promise of that perfect sacrifice. And they believed it. So, verse 21.
And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight.
Okay. And you that were sometime alienated. I mean, absolutely every one of us were alienated from God, period, until we received the gospel. And if you go back, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, and knew the grace of God in truth, then this begins to take place, where we, and it says there, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now is he reconciled. This is true of all of us. Before Christ, we were evil, only evil continually. I don't care what you think about yourself or what you think you did. None of it was of God. We were alienated from God.
Yeah.
And who's the author of good? Not us. Therefore, it wasn't there in us. And he reconciled us in the body of his flesh through death, you know, and he paid that price for our sin so that he could present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And, you know, that unreprovable, we all need reproof and instruction and stuff. This is where God is not going to hear that person so horrible and look at them. He will not receive an evil testimony.
Amen.
And it's in that sense. It doesn't mean we don't have things that need to change. And that change comes by the hearing of reproof.
Mm-hmm. And let's face it, if you are a believer walking in the power of God, there will be people speaking evil of you. And there'll be even people praying against you. And to know that God doesn't hear that gives you such a confidence in him.
And to partake of not hearing that ourselves is the other side of it.
Yeah.
I remember it wasn't too long ago, Davey talked about how Satan comes before the throne of God accusing the saints all the time. Mm-hmm. And we, being in his body, are right there hearing it. But this is where we have to know the truth of the grace of God through Amen. The gospel.
Let's face it, all of us can have terrible things say about us. And if we can even have them said about us today.
Oh, yeah.
But it just, to have confidence in him, to know that he will not hear that and hold it against us.
Yeah. Well, he's already accepted us, and Amen. It's got like a big period
yes.
at the end of it. But we have our part, and we're going to hear that in the next verse, verse 23. Whoever's supposed to read.
If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister.
Okay. If you continue in the faith. You know, it's interesting because Paul in 2 Timothy said, you know, he had finished his course, he had kept the faith. It's the thing, and that faith is the faith in the gospel and its sufficiency. And the hope, what it says here, in the hope of the gospel, because we walk in this flesh, we're aware of the fact that we fall short, and yet we walk in that hope that he will say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant, because we believed that which he said was true, not what our flesh says or what we see, but what he said.
That's right. Or what anybody else sees.
Yeah. And that's what that's the love we extend and minister one to another.
Mm-hmm.
Which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, have made a minister. It was given unto Paul to minister the gospel to every creature. And the creature here is the seed of Adam, whom Christ died for.
Mm-hmm.
Go ye into all the world and preach
to every creature.
Yeah. The creature here is the seed of Adam, and all who will hear. God would have all hear.
Mm-hmm.
But to those who will, that redemption now has power to save. And that's what, you know, that's Paul's job, to minister that
right.
faith. Verse 24.
Karen, I believe.
Anne's keeping track here. Karen.
Sometimes I am.
We're impressed.
Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God.
Okay, stop right there. So you see here again that rejoicing in the sufferings for you. Paul's whole life was to minister whatever the sufferings were to the body of Christ, that they might actually continue in the faith, being grounded and settled. And so there was affliction, there was trouble, there was distress, there was all of these things, but for him it was nothing. And that's, you know, making up the, what does it say here? And fill up that which is behind, that of the afflictions of Christ, that is still being done today by God's faithful ministers. Excuse me. And most particularly by those who have been called, even as Paul was called, in that position of apostle. They are the example. We might not see it, but who do this same thing, and all who believe and all who walk in the love of God do likewise.
Well, the thing is, he rejoices in suffering. And that goes back to verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness.
That's his prayer for them, too.
Yeah.
He was doing it.
He was walking in that.
Yeah. And with joy.
Yes.
The end of that conversation is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have something you really want, it doesn't matter what you have to go through to get it, if you really want it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is that kind of sense that what you got to suffer through to get it is worth it for that thing what you wanted.
And you read in Paul's life, oh my gosh, the suffering that he did. He even was stoned to death. And I pray that none of us have to deal with that kind of suffering. And we look at ourselves and we think, we're having a hard time or whatever, but praise the Lord, I'm not in this position that Paul was.
Yeah.
And I pray that none of us have to be. But we need to be able to stand if that does happen.
Yeah.
Just like Paul did.
Yeah. And even while we go through things that are difficult for us, if we have the right perspective, and that perspective is really found only in Christ and in love one to another. It's
That's
really
right.
The only place it's going to be found. Then it doesn't matter what it requires.
That's right.
And so he goes, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. This is what Paul's purpose was. What higher purpose in all the earth can you have? You know, to be called to minister Christ to the body and build it up. And that really is first and foremost the call of the apostles. And we know in Ephesians it says that he gives the apostles and prophets for the perfecting of the saints. But in that state of receiving that and learning it and walking it, which goes back to his prayer, you do likewise. And 1 John 2:6 says, those who say they are Christ ought to walk even as he did. Paul was set to teach them so they could. Davy is set to teach us so we can.
Mm-hmm.
Timotheus learning at Paul's side through fidelity or faithfulness to Paul was set to do likewise. Steve has taken that same place of discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
And has learned likewise. And they're here for us that we can learn likewise.
That's right.
And then we go and make disciples, even as Epaphras had done with those in Colossae, or however you say that word.
Close enough.
Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. And that really goes back to Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. God gave him that dispensation for them. Not for Paul, so Paul could be some great one, but so Paul could then give it out. Going back to what Megan said about the Sea of Galilee.
And Paul never considered himself great.
No.
He was very humble.
To fulfill the word of God.
That's right.
And you know, that's an interesting statement because that is what we're really here to. We hear that God doesn't have a plan for me or for you.
Mm.
He has a plan. We can be a partaker of it. And his plan fulfills
that's
the word
right.
of God.
Amen.
Whoever comes next, verse 26.
Megan.
Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints.
To his saints.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Okay, stop right there for a minute. To fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now it's made manifest to the saints, to his saints. You know, that's that, when you talk about those who died before Christ, they died in that hope, and then Jesus went and preached the gospel to them
mm-hmm.
in Abraham's bosom. They didn't have it. It was hidden from them. they wanted to see it, but he had to come before it was going to be revealed.
That's right.
And it is this very thing that God wants to make known, the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Before, it was really a Jewish thing, though there were Gentiles who entered in and became Jews.
That's right.
We know Rahab, we know Ruth, we know in Esther it said many became Jews in that time. But now, you know, that distinction, God has opened it up freely and said it's for everybody. It's no longer a Jewish faith or a Jewish God. It is for all who will believe.
Okay, amen. Thank you, Lord.
And it's, what is it, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this is all on him. This is the word of God that we can believe. Jesus, who is the word, didn't say anything he could not perform. And so we believe him and his faith to do what he said he would do. Karen.
Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily.
Okay, so it is this Christ, this Jesus, that Paul and Timotheus preach. And you notice there the warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. So that in all wisdom really isn't the wisdom of Paul, who was well learned, but the wisdom of God. And they preached and warned men. I mean, gosh, when you look at the book of Galatians, that was a book of warning. When the Lord brings instruction, there's a sense of warning to it because we gotta hear. It has to be that important to us that what we think, what, you know, however we look at things, we need to understand the importance of looking and hearing and receiving that which God gives us, which is how he looks at things.
Mm-hmm.
But that in all wisdom is that wisdom that came only from God, that Paul then taught in. Wasn't Paul's wisdom.
That's right.
Why? So that they may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And that's perfect is perfect in the faith of the gospel and in that hope. Not in our fleshly bodies going around and being somewhat. It is a perfection in faith.
And we can never be perfect in these fleshly bodies. This fleshly body is just is sin. It's going to take us to hell if we listen to it.
Yeah. And we need those warnings because we can find ourselves listening to it.
More often than we want to or think we do.
But that's why he has given us those to, when we find ourselves going astray, to minister again the truth.
Or who preach, who warn, and who teach.
Yeah. Whereunto I also labor, meaning Paul. He labors. This is his work. This is his life. This is his labor. Striving according to his working, meaning the working of Jesus Christ. Once again, this is all authored by the Lord. None of it authored by Paul, but that which the Lord has given him. And Paul walks by faith. This is all Paul knows what God has said. Paul walks in what God has said and ministers out of it, not because he has some great feeling or tingles, but because he actually believes God.
That's right.
Which worketh in him mightily. And it works mightily not only because he believes God, but because he gets up and walks it out. And that is something that was contrary to even Paul's flesh.
Yes.
But he did it because he believed God, and his desire was to serve God faithfully. Should be our desire. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Amen.
That's what Paul's given testimony to doing. And that's the end of chapter 1.
Yes, we made it. I wasn't sure. So next week we'll be starting chapter 2. If you all want to read it in advance, that would be very good.
Amen. And thank you for joining us.
Amen.
So may the Lord bless you.
Hope to see you here next week.
Yes.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.